Alan here to join us. Welcome to the very first episode of the podcast. Had to have you on this one because you were on the very first edition of the radio show, and I assume you were the good luck charm.
We'll go with that for sure. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited for you to sort of undertake this next step, and I consider it an honor to be included.
Thanks for having me. Wouldn't do it without you. Wouldn't be any fun without getting some of the old gang back together here to talk movies and everything else. Now we're recording this on the weekend, but so I assume from the perspective of our release date, we're going to assume that your weekend went very well.
Yes. It's one of those things where, and I've been thinking about it. And one of the things that I'm planning on doing, I think, if we continue doing this going forward, I think I might plan on leaning into the streaming offerings a little bit more, simply because of the nature of the, of the show and the timeline and stuff like that. I thought it might be an interesting way to sort of open the doors to people, because there's just so much stuff out there, and it's stuff that you're not necessarily going to hear about as much as you will with the box office releases. And again, it's not that I'm not going to do the box office stuff. Like, I'm still going to be going to the movies. I'm still going to be doing all that stuff. But I just thought, shining a light on some of the streaming offerings might be a nice way to go with all of this.
Yeah, that sounds great. And like always, too, you go see something cool at the theater. Share your impressions on that as well.
Yeah. And having the chance to do it, regardless of the specifics of what films we're discussing. I'm just super stoked.
Awesome. Well, so what have you seen? Anything good, bad, or indifferent lately?
We've got a couple to talk about today, which is it's interesting. It's a nice sort of split of films. They're both streamers. I've not gone to the movie theater this weekend, but so we've got on Netflix. We've got a film called Back in Action. Stars Jamie Foxx and Cameron Diaz, sort of an action, a family-oriented action movie. And then from Amazon Prime, we've got a movie called Unstoppable, which it's a biographical sports drama based on the true story of Anthony Robles, a one-legged wrestler who wound up wrestling for Arizona State, about 10 or 15 years ago. So, which one would you like to talk about first?
Well, let's start with Back in Action, because I'm curious. It's been a while since we've seen Jamie Foxx in anything new, and all kinds of questions about his health. So I guess the first question is, how does he look?
It's funny that this movie is titled Back in Action, because you've got Jamie Foxx, who again has been been dealing with some health issues. Looks great, by the way, like definitely handling his business. But we also have Cameron Diaz in a movie for the first time in over a decade.
Yeah, I heard mention that in an interview. I thought, well, I guess it has been that long.
Yeah, it's funny. The last movie she did, coincidentally enough, was with Jamie Foxx, the remake of Annie back in 2014. That was the last movie she did.
Wow.
So, she's made her comeback, largely, from what I understand, due to a consistent campaign of persuasion from Jamie Foxx. I guess he really wanted to work with her again. And so he just kept going to that well, and eventually wore her down. And she's like, all right, fine. I'll make this ridiculous spy movie with you. And what you got was, it's pretty fun, actually. It's not what you'd call a great movie necessarily, but it was a lot of fun.
Well, they're two pros, right? They know how to make it happen.
That's the thing. And it's got a nice collection of, some really solid supporting players mixed in there. And it's just you can kind of tell when people genuinely enjoy working with one another. And that vibe definitely helps elevate a movie that, frankly, probably could have been pretty generic, with different people in the driver's seat. But because you have these people with this with this genuine relationship and this real chemistry, like it pops a little bit more than it might have otherwise.
Excellent. Is there a plot that we need to know, or is it just is it all about the stars?
Yeah, no, it's pretty basic basic stuff. It's going to sound very familiar, like you've seen movies of this ilk before. But basically, we have Matt and Emily. That's Jamie Foxx and Cameron Diaz. They are CIA operatives who are tasked by their superior, a gentleman named Chuck, played by the always wonderful Kyle Chandler.
Nice.
And they are obtaining something that's called the key. I'll put air quotes on that. Which is basically one of the standard sort of like action espionage movie MacGuffins, where it's like, oh, it's a device that, you know, could control any electronic system because, you know, that's a thing that exists and is real. But anyway, so they undertake to get this device from I think he's supposed to be like some sort of like Eastern European, like KGB type agent, although that's never particularly clear. They steal the device. They try to escape. The plane they're on is actually a trap. And they, through circumstances, wind up getting away with everyone thinking that they've died. And so they basically are like, okay, well, we're going to go to ground. We're going to go off the grid and we're going to, you know, start over. Flash forward 15 years later to now the present day. They're married. They've got two kids. They live in Atlanta. You know, he's coaching soccer. She sends out like specialty like gifts from home. Like they've got a very nice suburban life, but you know, they've got the one kid who's a little rebellious. And in the course of trying to tamp down some of that rebellion, they're inadvertently filmed. And it goes on the internet, and well, then everybody kind of knows where they are, and chaos ensues. So they are, yes, they are back. Yeah, they are back on the grid, and so they are forced to undertake one last mission, as these things often go, because as it turns out, the key may still be out there, and if it falls into the wrong hands, well, you know, bad stuff,
right?
And so we find them jet setting all over the world, and encountering other people from their past, including a lovely surprise turn from the always welcome Glenn Close in this movie.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we have some action set pieces and a big thing we see various landmarks. It's, you know, the drill. And then the kids are, you know, simultaneously being cute and snarky and being endangered and back and forth. And, you know, the usual sort of like, we're a family, but we're also super spies, that kind of deal. Like I said, you've seen this movie before.
How was it overall?
You know what? It's a pretty good time. Again, like we talked about earlier, the fact that you've got two consummate pros kind of in that, you know, in those central roles, like they clearly, like I said, they clearly enjoy each other. They clearly like each other. And so when you have that chemistry, like it makes the relationship, which is kind of the foundation of the film, it makes that relationship feel genuine and feel real. And you can spin everything else off from that. I will say they both acquitted themselves quite well in the action sequences. Like, that's always something that you like to see when folks are able to handle that kind of action stuff. And again, like we talked about Kyle Chandler, who's always great. Glenn Close is wonderful. A couple of other, like the kids, McKenna Roberts plays Alice, who's the older daughter. And you've got Rylan Jackson, who's Leo, the younger son. And so you have this fun combination of, you know, action adventure and kind of family comedy sort of jammed together. It's one of those films where it's ostensibly violent, but it's family friendly violence, if that makes sense. Like, there's not a lot of blood. Like, you don't really see people die. Like, it's that kind of deal. like very, very PG, very Netflix in that way. But yeah, like again, not the greatest movie I've ever seen, but and kind of a weird comeback vehicle for someone like Cameron Diaz. But at the same time, I suppose like if you walked away because you weren't having fun, I would imagine having fun would be one of your priorities if you were to come back. And that's clearly what's happening here. So, yeah, like I'll be curious to see what happens next, both with Diaz and with Jamie Foxx, because, again, like we discussed, they've both been away for different reasons. And to see them sort of coming back, coming together, it'll be fun to see what happens next.
Yeah.
So, again, back in action. You could do worse.
Good to have him back. We're talking movies with Alan Adams. It's Past the Popcorn here on Downtown. Well, let's hear about Unstoppable. I'm not familiar with the backstory of this.
Yeah, I wasn't either. The basic deal is it's a young man by the name of Anthony Robles. He grew up in Arizona. He was born without a leg. He basically, like, pushed his way through to become a high school wrestling champion, walked on to Arizona State, and then sort of worked his way up the ranks to becoming an elite wrestler at that level as well. You know, I mean, it's very much your sort of inspirational sports story kind of thing. It's interesting because I generally tend to enjoy these types of movies. Like, I'm very much a target audience for this, but for whatever reason, it didn't quite click for me, and I can't necessarily put my finger on why. It's a perfectly well-made movie, directed by William Goldenberg. It's based on Robles' book. It stars Jarell Jerome as our lead, Anthony Robles, but it's got a really great supporting cast. Jennifer Lopez, Bobby Cannavale, Michael Pena, Don Cheadle. Like, it's a really nice cast.
And produced by, among others, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, right?
Yeah. It's part of their, their production company. It had a brief theatrical release, like that did a couple of film festivals. I think it had a brief release for like a week or so back in December, but it made its debut on Prime Video this past week. And I mean, I basically spelled it out for you. It's like, Anthony Robles, born without a right leg. He's raised by his mother, Judy, that's Jennifer Lopez, finds that passion for wrestling. Michael Pena plays his high school wrestling coach. He gets to a championship level as a high school student, is looking for a scholarship, but perhaps unsurprisingly, isn't necessarily treated as a serious contender for a scholarship spot by some of the elite programs. Like, his big dream is to go to Iowa, which, I mean, if you're a wrestler, obviously that's where you want to go, is Iowa. But, he doesn't get the offers that he wants. And so rather than going to a school he doesn't want to attend, he walks on at Arizona State to stay closer to the family. But, you know, that's complex, too, because he has a complicated relationship with his stepfather, played by Bobby Cannavale. He has to work like twice as hard to maintain the trust bestowed upon him by his coach at Arizona State. That's played by Don Cheadle. But I mean, here's the thing: you watch this movie and you watch as, you know, he sort of climbs the ladder, and like, you know how it's gonna end. whether it's because you're familiar with the story already, or like, there's only one way it can end. Otherwise, they wouldn't have bothered making a movie about it, if that makes sense.
Right.
One of the issues I had, it's funny, I was talking to my wife about this, I may have coined this term, I'm not sure, but I feel like this movie suffers from what I call the rudification of sport, inspirational sports movies.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
Right. It's like, you know exactly what I mean when I say that. It's just like, there's a degree of mythologizing here that I just, that just doesn't quite click, because here's the thing, like, you don't need any of that stuff with a story like this, because it is really just this incredible story. It's one of those things where it's like, it's a lot of being told that he has these obstacles to overcome without ever actually seeing him, like, really deal with the obstacles. Like, there are the physical limitations, obviously. We spend maybe a little too much time in montage mode, where we see him in training and basically trying to prove that he belongs and stuff like that. And I recognize that those sorts of things are important. There's a lot of it here, but we don't really learn all that much about this guy, except that he really wants to be a collegiate wrestler. Like, we don't know why he loves wrestling. We don't know. We don't know about anything other than any of his other interests. Like, he's not a fully rounded character. And I have to assume that someone like this, who has gone through so much, like, there has to be a fairly rich, inner life and backstory. And we're just not given a lot of that, which is kind of a bummer, because I feel like that's the part that I would find particularly fascinating. But all that being said, there are some really interesting sort of moments scattered throughout. One of the big things that I think is very cool is for the actual wrestling scenes and the sort of training stuff. Robles himself actually does, he's the body double. So the actual guy is doing the on mat wrestling and the training sequences and stuff like that. And that's handled actually quite well. Like, I wondered how that was going to be dealt with when I started watching the movie, because, you know, it's not like a partial, the leg, just ends at the hip. Like, it's just, and so there's no real, I don't know how you mask that with practical effects or anything like that. And so for them to have the buy-in from the guy himself and being able to accurately represent those moments, I think, is a contributor. It's one of the things in this movie that really works. I wasn't familiar with the young man, Jarrell Jerome, who plays the lead. He's fine. He's quite good. Like I said, the supporting cast is great. J-Lo is in this. I have to wonder if it's perhaps one of the final projects that she engaged with her now twice ex Ben Affleck. But she's good. Cannavale's really good. He's not a particularly nice guy in this movie, but he performs very well. Peña and Cheadle are both, again, they're both excellent actors, probably a little underutilized here, but they do a really good job. And again, like I said, I really wanted to like this movie more than I did. And I don't mean to say that I didn't like it and I didn't enjoy it. Like, I was engaged by it, but it's one of those stories where it just feels like a tweak here and a tweak there, add a little bit of this, subtract a little bit of that, and you could have something that was excellent instead of just very good. So that's kind of a bummer, but all that being said, I can't imagine anyone watching this movie and not walking away feeling like anything is possible, I guess. And so that's a pretty fascinating takeaway for any movie. And so, is it the greatest sports movie of all time? It is not. However, I could see it really attracting an audience as time goes by, as one of these movies to sort of, how do I put this? And I don't mean this in a derogatory way. It's a movie that I think will be shown in a lot of classrooms in the years to come.
Ah, gotcha. The rootification. I like it a lot. Alan Adams talking movies with us here on Downtown. Alan, good to be back talking with you after a few weeks off. Appreciate it as always, and we'll catch up with you again and talk movies soon.
Oh, man, thank you so much. I'm very excited for this new venture for you, and I can't wait to listen.